I'm here with Stella Vine at the Saatchi Gallery, just before the opening of the exhibition New Blood. Stella, can I talk to you first of all about the subject matter of the two paintings that have caused some controversy?
Yeah.
What made you want to do those works? Yeah. I mean, I know that's an interest of yours anyway. And just to talk a little bit about the reaction to them and them being in this collection of Saatchi's.
Yeah. As far as these two go, the Diana one came a little bit before the Rachel one. I think I did Diana in October. It was when all the press had come out about Paul Burrell letter and everything, and painted that one, sort of stemming from that. Although I did about 30 paintings based on the crash. Did MI5, Paul Burrell, the Queen Mum, aliens, Masons, all sorts of stuff. Got really involved in all that on the internet, and reading all the conspiracy theories and everything, got heavily involved in all that, and sort of Satanism and all sorts of things. But I was an admirer of Diana, so I liked her, all the many facets of her, and I liked the way you could kind of see everything all at once in her, the vulnerable woman who wants to be loved by everyone, and the more scheming kind of side of trying to get by and make the best of your situation and stuff like that. And
but yeah, what about the actual way you've used paint? I mean, you've used the paint in a very particular way. Paint's aggressive and it's very powerful. And I just would like to talk to you a little bit about the impact of the surface qualities of that work.
I suppose it's sort of fear and aggression, maybe. She had a hard time, whether she gave it herself or not. I just suppose I'm just sort of imagining getting inside her head a bit and sort of heightening that reality to sort of an extreme of her being in her princess gear and her princess hat, and she wants to be a princess still and Queen of Hearts and all that, and yet there's a sort of a thing about the future coming, the car crash and everything, and just
also the writing, I mean the phrase
that's a real sort of lipstick on the mirror cry for help type classic thing, isn't it? I can't quite remember that thought process of the actual writing.
It's interesting because both of the two paintings here refer back to happier times yet forward to a demise.
Yeah.
The other one of Rachel Whittier as well is like a photograph of her in happier times.
Yeah.
And then what you've got by the colour and the kind of lipstick smudged and things that you're referring to some other aspect of her, obviously death by heroin. And
When I first saw that image, I think it might have even been years ago, I'm not sure, of Rachel killed over dead with the syringe in her hand, I remember thinking it was sort of quite horrifying and disturbing, but it also was very brave and sort of brave thing of the parents to do. I had that in my head for a long time, and I kept drawing it and putting it in paintings, snow scenes and all sorts of things, without actually realising. It was only recently that I realised that that's what I've been doing for a long time, because I actually suddenly started rendering all these bent-over females. I wanted to paint a painting of that. I wanted to kind of fix it for Rachel so that she would be in some sort of better place, like a beautiful forest or an Alice in Wonderland thing or a sort of a heavenly type thing, but there was going to be like a fox in it, and so there's been a hint of some sort of menace. What that image also struck me as very strongly was all the lost females that we hear about, and the thousands of girls up and down the country who are in awful situations right at this second, you know, legal immigrants who are stuffed full of crack and heroin and stuff in order to be pimped and prostituted in order to pay their way or not, and just like the Soham girls we've had, and Millie Dowler, and just all of these incredible things that we have to deal with. And I think I'd be absolutely terrified if I had a daughter. I mean, I have a son who's 18, and that's kind of been frightening enough. Yeah, so it was kind of like Rachel's voice, the way that the way the lips have kind of bled, be it blood, paint or lips, whatever. It's sort of her, what's inside and what's to come, and a voice for her and a voice for those sort of images that were conjured up because of that very powerful, iconic image that was put out there. It touches me quite deeply, that story, and in a way it's just my little contribution, my little voice for Rachel. A bit sad that people have found it so shocking, but
Can we just talk about this whole phenomena that has happened as well, the kind of press furore and the Saatchi phenomenon and the kind of...
People think, you know, first of all, it's gratuitous, sensationalist, jumping on the bandwagon, trying to make a buck, and then throw into that the stripper stuff as well. You know, she's not been to art school. There's that whole stripping sort of hostessing kind of world where you're kind of considered a bit of a liar, I think, a bit of a thief and a fake and a cheat. Yeah, people must be quite suspicious, I think, that you're just sort of up to something, and then they're very suspicious of Saatchi and everything. But I'm personally not up to any of that, and I don't think Saatchi's either. When I look around, I just feel quite at home with... He's put me next to Paula Rego, which is really bizarre because I've just been thinking about her all weekend. I mean, I remember seeing her work in the 80s and remember seeing all these fairy stories and everything and drawing on that in my work at drama school. And
we've got Grayson Perry here, Paula Rego, you.
It is really amazing little corner.